As you make your way back to your seats, actually remain standing so we will have our scripture reading together, standing. Our scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20, in the English Standard Version. It reads, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the word of the Lord. Bless the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody. It's a packed house today. Let me start off with, today's going to be a Thanksgiving message. So before we begin, let's pray together once again. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your mercy and your grace, the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sake, for our sins, to redeem us, to save us, to give us new life and purpose. Help us to always be thankful for that. If all the world goes haywire and chaos consumes everything around us, we know that for sure that you are good and you are our God and we are your children. Help us to be thankful each and every day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, Pastor David asked me to do this Thanksgiving. We're going to be going through this passage. I changed the title. It's going to be Children of Thanksgiving, and it'll be clear why. When I was doing Thanksgiving, I was trying to obviously think about what I'm thankful for, and you know, I made this long list of things that what I'm really thankful for. And when I was talking to my son, and you know, we have community group, and the community is really big for us. And what his uncle, not really one of the people in the community, he gave my son a toy, a gift. And my son immediately looked up with a smile on his face, he grabbed it, and he ran away. And I was like, dude, go back and say thanks, man. And then I clucked him on the head a little bit to him like, hey, shouldn't you be thankful? Just say thanks. He's like, just say thanks. He's all okay, and he's really excited to play with his toy. And he said, thank you, and then he left. He walked away. It's similar to us where God has to remind us to be thankful. That sometimes it doesn't come naturally because we're so excited about the blessings that we actually receive, the blessing that we have, the family, the friends, the people around us, our work, our job, our home, these things that we're clearly blessed with, but we oftentimes forget to give thanks. And so sometimes especially when we read God's word, we should be thankful. We should be thankful. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to follow along. And thank you, dear, for just reading the passage. But before we get there, it says, in the chapter it says, be careful, be very careful then how you live. And then my first question is, why? What's so scary? What's wrong with be careful? And what's the reason for? And so I have to turn to the beginning of the chapter, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, to get a clear understanding of what we're trying to accomplish here in Ephesians. So if you can have the next slide, Ephesians chapter 1. It says, follow God's example. And this is Paul's writing to us. Follow God's example. He is the perfect example of how to live. Therefore, dearly loved children, he says this with a intimacy, a family type of thing. He calls us children. Dearly loved children, not necessarily Paul's children, but God's children. and to walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering. Just stop there for a second. That God gave his life for us. Isn't that a special thing? Shouldn't we appreciate just that alone? That alone should give us pause to be thankful to God. And I was talking to a friend of mine who, and many of fathers, and I always talk about it, this, doesn't the Bible seem a lot different when you are a father than when you were not? The way you look at the Bible and you see the Bible differently than before. How special this moment when Jesus dies on the cross and how the Father allows him to take the sins of the world upon his shoulder onto the cross to die for us. Whoa, that's so powerful, it hurts. My son, I love my son deeply and dearly, and he's a rascal sometimes, but regardless of what he does, I love him completely. And to say that I'm going to sacrifice my son for you, for your sins, the things you chose to do, I don't know. I can't do it. I don't know. It hurts me to even think that's even a possibility. But our Heavenly Father does that for us, that he sent his only begotten Son for us. Thanksgiving alone. This is an example of God's grace. I looked up the word Thanksgiving, and there's many things that I learned about Thanksgiving. One, it's thanks and giving. One is to have a thanks and from your mind and your heart to be thankful for something. But then there's this giving aspect, this action that requires in its name thanksgiving and to be thankful to each other. I also looked at what the Thanksgiving, it's in Greek. In the Greek, it's Eucharista. And I was like, Eucharista, that sounds oddly familiar. And I looked up where Eucharista is, and it's during the Last Supper. And we see Jesus himself as the example, breaking bread and giving thanks before he passes away, before he dies. And when he does it, he's sitting around his family, his 12 disciples, even if he knowing full well that one will betray him, breaks bread and gives thanks. And you wonder, what is he thinking? What is he giving thanks for? We can only assume that he's giving thanks to the Father for his love and his tenderness, his compassion, his grace. I'm sure he's thankful for his brothers that are standing and sitting around him, as well as the sisters who are there supporting them. He's giving thanks before he breaks the bread. And we find that in Luke chapter 22:19. And then when he returns, after he dies on the cross and raises again on the third day, Eucharista is found once again as he breaks bread with his brothers. We have a sense of community and family here. And then we move on to this where it says in verse 2, and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering, this beautiful, wonderful smelling thing that passes through person to person, sacrifice to God. In verse 3, but among you there must be no hint of evil. And this is Paul's address to us, that in order for us to be imitators of Christ, of God, but among you must not have any hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because it is improper for God's holy people. These are the don't-nos, the don't-don'ts, the do not do these things. And he continues on. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. He wants us to replace these improper things, these sinful things, and replace them with thanksgiving, right? Imagine a world if everybody, instead of thinking about themselves and committing every kind of sin, and replace those things with thanksgiving of their hearts, knowing full well everything they receive is a blessing. Instead of I want this, I demand this, we demand these things, to be thankful for what we have and we're given. And especially
who gave it to us and who it's given, who has given it. And that is God himself.
In verse 5, for this you could be assured, no immoral, impurity, or greedy person, such as a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He doesn't allow these things in his presence. Let no one deceive you, and people will. Many times when we see commercials and different things that we see on TV that gives us these desires and wants that are unnecessary and not needed, and purely for, I don't know, for accumulation reasons. But he says this instead, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because such things, God's wrath comes to those who are disobedient. So this is something that God requires. This is something God requires in obedience, not disobedience. To refrain, to flee, to run away from such evil things. Basically says to walk away. There, in verse 7 it says, therefore do not partner yourselves with them. Simply to walk away. In verse 8, and here's where the gospel, and if we look in verse 8, and here's where we see the gospel fully. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. And how do we do that? Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful to even mention that what is disobedient in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. Essentially, this is the gospel message. God, in his beauty, in his glory, in his light, saw us in the darkness, saw us with our sin in darkness and doomed for the wrong destiny, hell, we can say. And God pulls us out of that darkness, exposes the darkness, sheds light upon us, and then brings us out. This is the gospel. God coming to earth, knowing the sin that's there, and he frees the people from it because of his love for us. This is the gospel. And he frees us because of our sinfulness, and he exposes them. We need to confess these things. We need to bring these out to the open so God can spread light on it, to share this light on it, to expose it for what it is. And when he does this, this is grace personified. He didn't need to. He didn't have to. But because of his love for us, he wanted to. This is grace, because we are so undeserving. And for that, we should be thankful. We are undeserving of so much. We were dead in our transgressions, but now we are alive in Christ. And perfect, when I was thinking about that song, one of the songs that Phil played was, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. And it's because Christ is alive, is alive, is alive, that I am alive. And then we see it again here as in this quote from the Old Testament. Wake up, sleeper, meaning you dead person. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is something to know. We go to verse 15. Then he says, be very careful. And this is the passage that I selected. And then for the only reason is because it has the two words that I was looking for in verse 20. And it says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. The two words, always and everything. Be thankful. But let's go in verse 15 before we get there. Paul writes this in a very troubling place. He's in prison. And we know in 2 Corinthians that
this guy keeps going. He's like the energizer bunny. And he keeps going and going and going. This guy has been flogged. This guy's been whipped. This guy's been tortured. This guy's been put in prison, shipwrecked, you name it. It happened to him. All for the sake of the gospel. All for the sake of him going from place to place, sharing the gospel with somebody, to the people in the area. And still he keeps going, writing to the Ephesians from prison. And he says, be careful, because of what we were saying before, how to live. Like, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. So making the most of every opportunity means a little different for Paul at this moment. He's sitting there in prison, and he's writing this message, and he knows three things. Well, we know three things. One, he's in prison. His life could end at any moment. The prison guards can come in, take him away, and execute him. Secondly, he was constantly in danger, danger after danger. Once he's released, he's going to go back in the field, sharing the gospel once again, this great message of Jesus Christ. And any moment, he could be killed. And then he also understands one thing as well, that Christ will return with full confidence, that he will return again and take his people with him back to heaven. So he's aware of these things. So he writes this. Make every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity to be thankful, to bring glory to Jesus. Because the days are evil. Now, the days are evil, and we know this. We see this in the riots in Hong Kong. We see this in the shootings over the schools. We see this in many, many different areas in our society. And not only our society, but around the world, that sin is there, and so sin is prevalent. And Satan and his minions are there looking for opportunities to persuade us, to turn our attention and our focus away from God. So we need to be careful. Therefore, do not be foolish. That leads to debauchery. Not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. But understand what the Lord's will is. And my question was, how do I know what the Lord's will is? Who knows what the Lord's will is? And that is, God himself knows what his will is. And then we read that from God's word. So I encourage you strongly to continue to read God's word, to know what his will is for us, to know his plan for us, to know who he is, to know who Jesus is, to follow his example. That is the will of the Lord. But you know what? The opposite of being wise is to be foolish. And then it says here in verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, which is the drunk part is the opposite of wisdom, leads to debauchery, meaning things that you shouldn't be doing. But instead, be filled with God, be filled with the Spirit, not these silly things, these foolish things, but with the understanding of who God and his great salvation for us, his grace, his mercy, that understanding that we have. Be filled with the Spirit. And I've been looking through the Bible, and I've been reading the Bible for a long time, and every time one of God's messengers, his prophets, or his special leaders in the church, they always have a comment in the passage where it says, Stephen was filled with the Spirit, Peter was filled with the Spirit, his disciples were filled with the Spirit, and then they do something amazing. They do something great for God. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And this is talking about us. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Singing music from your heart to the Lord. This is where we have community. When we are thankful, we're thankful for many things. And the list can go on and on. We share these thanksgivings with each other.
We share them with each other, and we do it with joy and gladness, singing songs, singing hymns. Have you ever been really depressed or sad? Or, I mean, depression is a very serious thing, but sometimes when you're not feeling so well, things kind of didn't go your way. Turn on some music, especially Christian music, I prefer. But turn on some music, something that you're familiar with, something that you like. See how your attitude changes. Livens your step, fills you with more positivity, fills you with more Spirit of God. And then it says after this, it says, sing and make music from your heart. And we know in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the heart is a place that, which is the center. The center of your body, the center of your souls, where it's basically the command center that allows you to feel things. And this is where thanksgiving, your heart, lies. The spirit of thanksgiving lies in your heart. And we need to ask God to change those, to change our hearts for him. And in verse 20, he says, giving thanks to God the Father for everything. And this is the passage that I really was looking for. I wanted, it's a constant reminder for me. Always, not sometimes, most of the time, but always giving thanks to God for everything. Not just the really happy things, the really good things, but that also includes the bad things. The things that we might think are really fortunate, really bad. Lost ones. Some people we have lost people. We have friends that are sick, family that is sick. We have trials and tragedies happening all over the world that we're really sad about. But to always give thanks, even in those times. And there's in tragedies as well, for everything, even those things, because God can use those things for his glory. We just need to see it. And so God wants us through this message from Paul to give thanks always and for everything. And then this is something that I noticed as well toward the end. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why people like Paul ends this? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the name of the Lord is powerful. The name of the Lord is powerful. So we're invoking God's power to help us to be thankful. We're invoking God's power to be thankful to the Father in heaven. Because sometimes, many times, it's difficult to do so, especially in difficult times. So I just went through the passage. Again, I like going through passage. I learn a lot from just this chapter 5, 1 through 20. I encourage you guys to continue to read God's word so that you will be blessed and know God's will. Can I have the next slide? Okay, so here's the applications. I'm sorry, they're really small. If you need a copy, I'll send it to you. But a couple of application points here as we go. Devote yourselves to Christ and the knowledge and the understanding of the gospel, living lives according to his great plan. Yes, do that. When I say devote, I mean really devote. Haphazard is not devoting. Do you know when I don't get things done is when I don't devote myself to them. And many of you guys understand what I'm talking about. When you do half effort here or half effort there, when you sort of do this and sort of do that, when you're meaning to do something much more greater or more fuller, it doesn't end up happening. And you forget it by the wayside. But if you devote yourself to Christ, reading of his word, the knowledge and understanding of his gospel, meaning the things that we're given, the things that we're blessed with through Jesus Christ, the gospel, knowing that in full measure, living it out in our lives will help us to be thankful. It'll be a reminder for us. The second thing is to develop attitudes of thankfulness through the reading of God's word and knowing his will and conforming to his will. Okay, that's one thing I was learning as well. And I'm learning just as you. This is not me telling you because I got everything handled, and I'm telling you from a place of superior experience, but one of learning and humbling. I am constantly humbled to develop an attitude of thankfulness through the reading of God's word and knowing his will. And it ends here, right? No. And conforming our will to his. It's one thing when we read God's word and we start understanding this is what God wants for us. This is what God wants for us in our lives. But to know that is one thing. But our will many times contradicts that. And so we need to ask God's help to conform our will to his. So I know that God's will is like this, and it's always going to God. But many times my will goes like this, or like that, or something else. It goes crooked around. But what God desires from us is to align our will to his. And that, for many of you control freaks, I know that there are a lot of control freaks in here, that you have to let go of that control and to ask God to help you with his power in his name to align your will, our will, to his. Third, discipline our thoughts to remain thankful and even in difficult times. Can we have a quote up there? I was looking for like good quotes from several people, and Billy Graham is a really favorite of mine. Billy Graham, if you don't know who he is, some of you younger people, Billy Graham was this evangelist, this pastor who had a Billy Graham crusade. And some of people, maybe the older people, know who this man is. This man was one of the most renowned Christians in the last century, most renowned. He did a lot of work, a lot of evangelistic events, the Billy Graham crusade. And thousands upon thousands heard his message, the message of the gospel, Jesus Christ's message, and gave their lives to him. Now he was actually an advisor, a spiritual advisor to the president many times. And then he was always asked, and I like this, he was always asked, what do you think about this policy? What do you think about what the president say? What do you think about this? But this event that happened. And then people who want to get a good news story, want to trick him into saying something idiotic or to make Christians look bad. But you know what? He would always say, I believe in the gospel, and that's the most important thing. He didn't tie himself up with politics. He didn't tie himself with this, he said, she said, these people want this or people want that. And he would focus specifically on, I don't know anything about that kind of stuff. What I do know is the gospel, and have you heard it yet? Can I tell it to you? So Billy Graham, he says this. Grumbling and gratitude are, for the child of God, in conflict. Be grateful when you won't grumble, and you won't grumble. Grumble, and you won't be grateful. That is so true. Grumbling and gratitude are, for the child of God, and that's us, as we read, in conflict. Be grateful and you won't grumble. And I grumble all the time. And God clearly says in this passage, don't grumble, be grateful. Why should we give thanks? Because everything we have comes from God. John MacArthur, in the next slide, he says, a thankful heart is one of the primary identifying characteristics of a believer. A thankful heart, one who understands the gospel. One understands that he has a God who loves him. One who has a thankful heart is a primary identifying characteristic of a believer. It stands in stark contrast to pride, selfishness, and worry that all of us suffer from in some shape or form. And it helps fortify the believer's trust in the Lord and reliance of his provision that he will provide. Even in the toughest times, no matter how choppy the seas become, a believer's heart is buoyed, meaning stays afloat, by constant praise and gratefulness to the Lord. If we are grateful and we praise, we're in this attitude of thanksgiving,
God will lift us up, keep us afloat.
Billy Graham says again, a spirit of thankfulness is one of the most distinctive marks of a Christian whose heart is attuned to the Lord. Thank God in the midst of trials and every persecution.
And the last thought I have, and this is what I'm going to hopefully you can walk away with. There's no reason not to be thankful every day. There is no reason not to be thankful every day. And then during the time of Thanksgiving, and this is something I heard on the radio which I thought was really cool, so I'm sharing it with you.
During Thanksgiving, we have a time of reflection. It's a really good time. We sit around the table with our family and friends. And if you don't do this, it's actually really good for you to do. To think about, make that list of things that you're thankful for and to share them with each other. Like it says in community, through songs, through hymns, through stories, through testimonies, to be thankful for God so that we could be encouraged. But this one, I want to encourage you this, and this is something different. Don't make a list of what you already are thankful for. Instead, make a list of what you should be thankful for. What is that? Maybe things that God provides that many times goes unnoticed. I want to share with you, my life's not perfect. I struggle. We struggle with many things. My wife and I—I'll speak for my wife without divulging too many things. But I realized after our last argument, our last fight, how when I was very upset and I was very angry, because I wanted my own way or my own thinking to be true, I remembered these passages as I was cooling down. To be thankful for my wife, my son, my family, our jobs, our ministry. And whatever I was fighting about wasn't as important as being thankful. Thankful for God to be in our lives, to be the center of our lives, to remind us of these things. I encourage you, my family, be thankful always to God the Father for everything. Let's pray.